and welcome to Quality of Life Radio, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. Today, we're excited to chat with psychotherapist, author, and writer Linda Fader. And she's joining us with her new short fiction collection. It's called All's Fair and Other California Stories. It's out now through She Writes Press. You can go to lindafader.com. That's F-E-Y-D-E-R. And Linda is on her couch right now in New York City. So welcome, Linda. How are you?
Oh, thank you very much for having me. I'm fine.
Oh, it's good to have you here. Nancy's been reading your book, and it's really cool.
I think
you have a collection of stories, but it's human. It's like getting into the human psyche with your stories, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think so. I know I'm a psychotherapist, so I kind of like getting into the way people think and feel by nature. But I think most fiction writers do. When you write a character, you're delving into their psyche and trying to understand them as people in their own right. So they're not too dissimilar.
Yeah. And they're all based in Southern California.
Right. So all the stories are linked by the setting of California, where I grew up and lived most good half of my life. And so the pier on the cover is the Ventura Pier. I don't know if you know Ventura County.
Oh, cool. Yes, we love Ventura.
So that pier was near and dear to my heart. So
We love Ventura. Nice. It's a beautiful area. You got the Channel Islands and, so much history.
So much. It's a really beautiful little town. And Ojai just behind it. Mm-hmm. Some of the stories are set there and up all and down the coast of Southern California into the desert. So it covers a good swath of that area.
Yeah. I mean, Ojai is cool. It's like an art town, as I remember. Yeah, a lot of art.
Did you travel there for your show at all?
We haven't done our show there. No, we haven't been there yet, but we have done Ventura. Gosh, we were in Ventura a while ago. It's been a while since we've hung out there. But I remember going to the harbor area, and there was an art festival going on at the harbor, and it's really pretty out there. And learning the history. I know I'm addicted to the Juan Bautista de Anza National Historic Trail about the Anza expedition of where Juan Bautista brought 200 people in 1776 across the desert from southern Arizona, or actually through Mexico, I should say.
Mexico first.
Up through Tucson and all the way to found San Francisco. And so Ventura is a big part of that history. So
and that's what, like, that story, there's so much that's interesting about California and the people it draws to it. I've always found that fascinating. I mean, the history of California is so rich with people seeking something.
And moving there, I mean, you've got Native American culture, you got the Spanish culture, you've got people moving to California or LA for Hollywood experiences, music experiences, and then we've got a huge immigrant population, and that's one of your stories touch on that.
Yes. Marta del Angel is a story about a Mexican immigrant woman, and I actually was influenced by that story when I was teaching ESL in Ventura.
Oh.
I was teaching some ESL courses, and I was really influenced by meeting and getting to know a lot of the immigrants. My own mother came from an immigrant family, so I had some knowledge of that. So it was nice to be closer to them, talking to them, working with them, helping them get established in this new country, but also, you know, sharing in some of their trials and hardships was very difficult.
Isn't that part of it, being a psychotherapist, is also understanding how people get through those hardships and pull through them, or sometimes maybe not pull through them?
Right. Helping people understand what it is they're struggling with and be able to put it into words is the first step, right? A lot of times we're feeling things, but we don't really know what it is. Mm. So I think that's a lot of the work is bringing that up, and so that you understand what it is, you can verbalize it. And then once it's on that level, then you can start to look for solutions to it.
Mm.
You know, but a lot of times we walk around not feeling right, but not really knowing why.
Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Did they just call that depression?
It can be depression or anxiety. Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that going on with COVID right now, right? A big need for...
Scary. It's scary, mm-hmm. you know, especially for those who aren't really sure. Like, you know, there's the people who went and got the vaccine. There's others who would, whatever their reason is.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be scary to walk around and not get vaccinated.
I know.
And you've convinced yourself not to for some reason or other, you know, and then you realize what a huge risk, unless they don't believe it's a risk at all. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think there's so much distrust these days.
Yeah.
About science and what the government's telling us. It makes it confusing for a lot of people. They don't really trust pharmaceutical companies, so they feel very distrustful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you even think about just how it got here, how COVID got here is a whole distress.
I know, right?
Thing, right?
Still so trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like, oh, were you trying to kill us and poison us and the rest of the world? Right. I mean, it is. There's people who have that fear, but I really think the people who are most scared have got to be the youth, especially teenagers.
That's interesting. Why do you think that?
Because number one, most, you know, depending on their age, they can't get vaccinated yet. Depending on their age, they're seeing, you know, this pandemic and people are dying. Climate change is happening. There's unrest in the country. Everybody's arguing. Families are arguing. So as a child, it's got to be like, what the heck? What's going on?
You know? That's a really good point.
So I feel for youth more than anybody right now.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not in control as an adult. You know, when I grew up in the 60s, we just thought everything was cool, man. I don't remember. I know our specific family had its struggles, but I don't remember being scared or terrified of a disease or worried.
Right?
And if your family doesn't get vaccinated, but you as a young adult feel you should, then what do you do? I mean, I can see complications all over the place from this.
That's interesting, because I was wondering if this time is like other times when people grew up in the Vietnam War. Did it feel like everything was in chaos also? Or maybe not?
It wasn't on home turf. I think there's a distance too. Even though friends and loved ones were out fighting, it wasn't on your home turf.
It was, a lot of my friends went to Vietnam and some never came back. So there was that.
Yeah. And a lot of protests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were protests, but there was protests about everything, but they weren't violent.
Mm-hmm. Didn't have the same.
You know, we weren't storming capitals or anything.
Right.
Yeah, so there was a lot of peace signs, remember? Peace signs. Right, you know, so it was kind of a different sort of thing. We're walking around with peace, so there wasn't any riots.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of different now.
With you writing, do you take a lot of what you do in psychotherapy and help build your characters around knowing what humans are about?
Right. That's an interesting question. I mean, I never write about my clients. I always want them to know that, because I always think, what a terrible feeling that they might feel it.
Would not
be a good thing. But so I never do that. But, you know, I don't know, because I think I started out as a writer first. I was a writer first, and then I became a psychotherapist later. So I think that they've both influenced each other, but I'd have to say maybe my interest in the human story began first. And so I think it lended itself very well to psychotherapy. I mean, I just love the human story. I think that's why I wrote stories, because I love the human story. I love to create a character and see where it goes and understand them as humans. I mean, I love short stories because it's almost like a photograph. It catches that one moment that kind of reveals more. Like, you don't have to say everything about them, but you reveal one moment, and that moment illuminates something really, a deeper understanding about life or that character, what they're struggling with.
Well, I think a lot of people look at reading too as part of an escape and connecting. We were talking about this, you know, yesterday on a segment, that storytelling really is very therapeutic, just like music is very therapeutic. But storytelling, you know, people can identify it so personal. When you're reading a story, it's your personal experience. And if you can connect with a character, maybe you're going through something similar, I think it helps a lot.
I agree with you. I think stories and storytelling is part of human nature. I mean, it goes back all the way in our history.
Yeah.
But well,
it's education, whether you're problem solving or you didn't realize you were problem solving, but now you're reading about this character and they're solving a problem. And then maybe the penny drops and you go,
right.
Yeah.
That's so true. I think that's so true. And I think we also expand as human beings when we read fiction, don't you? I mean, because you enter somebody else's world.
Yeah,
for a while, and you start to live and breathe that character as you're reading it. And
yeah,
I think that's one of the great things. Sometimes it's a character that's so completely different from yourself, but you connect with something,
even if it's the villain.
Yeah,
the villain.
Exactly. That way.
Yeah, heroes and villains.
True.
Now the title "All's Fair," because there's a whole thing in life. Life ain't fair. Get over it, you know. And all's fair in love and war. I mean, all's fair. So tell us about the title, because that's one of your main story too, right?
Yeah, that comes from the main story, and I think the character who's going through the main character has Parkinson's, and so his doctor has told him that they should go live in California from New York in a different climate that would be easier for them, and so they go, and he's a kind of a gruff older character who's struggling with the change, but he likes to say that, you know, all's fair. He says that all the time. All's fair. Like there's a sense that in life, you don't always get the fair. You don't get everything is fair, right? Whatever happens to you can be fair. Even having to move from New York to go to California because of your health.
Right.
That in life, all is fair because we're not always in charge.
That's a good point. That's a good point, because a lot of us will go completely the opposite. It's not fair.
Right.
Not fair. You know, the wine went.
Why did that happen to me? Right.
Yeah. Why me? It's interesting. We just did an interview, and we recorded the interview yesterday with Jimmy Carter, who is one of the co-founding members, not the president. Co-founding member of the Blind Boys of Alabama gospel group, just an incredible band singer. And he's 93 years old. And the final song on the album is "Why Me?" And it starts singing. He's got Charlie Musselwhite on the background on harmonica, and he starts singing. And of course, he's blind. And then all of a sudden, he just starts talking. Why me? Why am I blind? And why? And then it like goes into the whole point, you know, that he's there to give light, even though, you know, he's blind, through his music, to let people know that you can handle what you have, what you're going through, or whatever it is you, there's still good out there. So it's not like, poor me. It's like, this is just part of my story.
Right.
So it goes kind of with what you're doing with all fair.
Yes, that's very true. And that's the main story. And it's that story of a couple struggling with aging and living, choosing a community totally different from the one they were in, but for health reasons. And it's really the story of his wife coming to terms with both her husband's changing and also having to be transplanted somewhere else where, because of that, when she didn't really ask for it.
Yeah. Well,
and also, you know, she goes from like, she, you know, she's got this husband that was her provider, her protector. And then all of a sudden, she's the caregiver.
That's right. You know? And that's a hard place to be sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, you feel so much sympathy for your loved one, but at the same time, you're going through a lot of stress and it's not easy.
I was
trying to highlight really her story around him and having to move and deal with that. And she befriends a little albino boy who lives in the complex in this desert community, which is kind of a strange thing, right? Because the light and the sun is very hard on him. So it's about her connection with this boy as she's assimilating to. It's set in Palm Desert.
Yes.
Which is a desert.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, so many people did move after World War II, moved to the desert because of mustard gas poisoning. There's a huge history of Joshua Tree Area, 29 Palms. Of course, 29 Palms is one of the largest marine bases in the world. But it, because of the military connection, a lot of people homesteaded there because of better breathing because of mustard gas poisoning. And and a lot of people do move to the desert just for like to heal. There, it's a very interesting thing how people move. You know, we've got friends who move from New York to California thinking they're going to love it. And then they're like, no, this sucks. We're going to go back.
It's boring. There's no people.
They're all excited because they love wine and they're in Napa. I mean, they're in the most, to me, one of the most beautiful places in the country. And they're like,
and they're bored.
No, I'm bored. I need to go back to New York City.
And apparently, one of your characters is kind of like that. There's one story where you have a character that really will talk to anybody. And so when they move out of New York to California, there's Californians are friendly, but they don't necessarily talk to everybody.
That's really true. There is a difference. I noticed that too, having now lived on both coasts.
Yeah,
I've noticed that too. And I think California is almost like its own character. The weather and the atmosphere is is so prominent. Yeah. I think in New York, it's different. I don't find the environment as big of a place. Like it's not, I mean, I'm not putting that right. I think that in New York, in New York, it is about people. It's a lot about people. Everybody's here very close. It's people, very heavy cultural center. But I find that in California, it's nature plays a bigger role.
Yeah, it's wide open space.
Even just the sky is so big.
It's a huge difference.
You feel your environment more is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You don't feel the environment, you feel the culture. But you don't feel the environment that you do in California. I almost feel like California is its own character in a way.
It's laid back compared. Like New York is busy, 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 busy. Yeah. And there are parts of California that are really busy. But for the most part, hey, y'all, let's just
you're still in shorts still in shorts and a t-shirt, kind of, chilled out, casual.
There's such a sense of, wanting to be out in nature and the beauty of California, and you want to be outside and you want to eat outside. You want to just be outside.
Yeah. And we're very much like that. And traveling full time, going from California in the Southwest area, you're used to this wide open expanse or the ocean or the mountains, but it's a different mountains. And then we went back east and especially like hitting Pennsylvania and those areas. And we've done Florida and all of that, but then getting in the South. But then as soon as you hit back east and all of a sudden all the houses are next to each other, there's one town right after the other. It almost reminds me of England. And I know it was kind of fashioned after England, and Amsterdam and everything.
It's a really good
And suddenly it's like, what? And then I'm used to getting up at 4 a.m, seeing the sun start to rise. And it's like, no, that doesn't exist here like that. It's like, what? Everything really is dark. Closed. It feels very closed in.
Closed even if you're in a park that's open,
it's still... It's just
compressed.
It's really different.
Absolutely.
And not bad. It's not bad. It's just completely different.
Yeah. It's very different. I remember when I first started living in New York City at the time, I felt it took me a couple of years to just adjust. I was so used to sky. Pervasive sky when you're out west. And I felt like I was in a funnel, because the buildings were just, and everything was so closed in that it took me a while to get used to it.
Yeah. It is a different thing for us, even just traveling. Yeah. It's like, wow, wait, everybody, but everyone talks to each other. It is a hello,
It really is very much a cultural, everybody talking to each other, different cultures, very much that.
Interesting.
But I tried to make California almost like a character in the book,
too.
To really feel Southern California and all its different areas, the desert, the ocean, all of that.
How you live is different. And one of the reasons when I heard about your book, one of the reasons I was like, oh, this is cool. She's talking about the desert because the desert people are fascinating. That's a whole other lifestyle. The desert people are, yeah. I mean, we lived in the desert in different places in the Southwest, and small and big. And let me tell you, man, I mean, Borrego Springs, I don't know if you know where that is, near San Diego desert. And it's like a little village within a state park. I mean, you've got 600,000 desert acres surrounding this tiny little village. And, you know, it's like, there's your restaurant. There's a couple others, but then there's the main watering hole. Yeah. The same, it's like the different characters. I could write a sitcom on this place. You know,
absolutely. That's why one of the stories in there, Robbie Released, is set in Buckeye, which is a real desert town heading out toward, you know, Nevada. So, and I wanted to capture that quality of that small desert town and this woman's desperation to be seen.
I think that's why that TV show Schitt's Creek did so well.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? I just wanted to say Schitt's Creek. No, but I think, you know, because it was that small town, here comes Moira, the larger than life character. And here they are in this rundown motel. There's just this, it just, you know, and you know these places and people exist.
Absolutely.
You know?
And it, and as you got to know the characters, and you became really a part of the community too with them as they slowly got acclimated to it. Right. I loved that about that show.
It just keeps building. Yeah. Character driven.
People have their little routines that, like, they do the same thing all the time. Like the guy always takes his hat off and dusts it off first and then puts it on the hook. There's these little routines people get into and they don't change no matter what. It's interesting. I often wonder what would happen if a person like that lost his hat. How big a deal would that be? Because even just the idea of having to go buy another, and would it be exactly the same? Would he still have to have the brim to dust? Or would he go without a hat?
Right.
You know, because there's that ritual. And when there's a ritual, obviously it
what happens it sounds
something.
Like you have a new story idea there. I like that.
See, there it is. Well, this is what's so interesting about what you're doing, writing regionally but character driven. And I think, you know, that's something so important. You know, we talk about this with our Hollywood historian Steve Schneikert all the time about British comedy or British TV or movies versus American, and how they're so character driven with their actors, and, you know, they're just really character driven. And it's not about, you know, here I am all glitzy glamour. It's about the character, and the characters will get down and dirty no matter what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like Fawlty Towers. We were talking about that just before we started recording.
Smaller TV sets or movie sets, not like in the West. Because we're in the West and we have all this wide open space, we have huge movie lots with great big movie sets.
Yeah.
And you go back east, here's your one room apartment scene that,
like,
stays in that
Archie
room
Bunker or whatever, you know.
That's true.
But it's so character driven. And what you're writing to me is really interesting, because it would be neat to see it be in like an episode, like a Netflix series or something. There's a series that kind of was interesting. We didn't know what we were getting into. It's called Dirty John, and it's crazy because it's based, and the first one has Christian Slater in it, and it's an actual real case that happened in California in San Diego when we actually even moved to San Diego. This
was that
woman
dating one? The woman dates the guy who he's like a psychopath.
Yeah. Well, she kills him and she drives her car into the house. I mean, this crazy thing. And then it goes, so you're watching this and it ends, and then it goes Dirty John continued. And then it's a completely different cast of characters with a completely different story, but it's all connected to Dirty Johns. These men, like one is a psychopath, one is a, you know, hustler, gigolo kind of dude. So it's like all these different episodes.
Oh, I hadn't
seen
that.
Like three.
That's interesting.
But but it's all on one theme. And like here, you've got, here's a regional theme and it's character driven. We don't see many series or stories, like there's a collection of stories by theme, but not with what you're doing. And I think that would be a really neat.
Oh, thank you. I wanted to capture the eclectic nature of California, because that's what I love about California. It really attracts a lot of different types of people. Sure. From immigrants to people searching for something, whether it's fame or gold.
Good weather.
You know, whatever it is.
Venice Beach. Weather, right? Everyone go to Venice Beach.
Yeah. A different lifestyle. You know, I always felt like when people left the East and moved to the West, they were moving away from tradition, right? Tradition that they came from, often from immigrant families in the East. And this was very much my family. They started out as an immigrant family on the East Coast and slowly made it over to the West.
Okay.
And it was for different reasons. My uncle wanted to be an actor. You know, he was seeking that. There were, you know, the weather. Nobody wanted to deal with the winter anymore. But I think that's what's so interesting about California, that people come there from other places often in seek of a better life, a better way of life. Maybe seeking fame, maybe seeking to get away from the traditional past, you know.
Maybe they'll see a movie star.
Yes, that's really funny because we have a friend.
From their traditional past sometimes.
To
kind of dream up a new life for themselves.
And you can have whatever your hair is. You can do whatever. Yeah. Like they said, a friend.
Exactly.
He's from Boston. Paul. Wally, that's how and we knew him from when we lived in San Diego, and then he moved back. He goes, "Oh crap, I have to cut my hair. I'm back east again." It's like a whole different thing in California.
So
it's like,
weird.
So what? That's what you want to be. Who cares? You know?
Right. And I know people can kind of reinvent themselves.
Yeah.
In the West, like, I think.
Mm-hmm. Where we are in Asheville, North Carolina is kind of like that. And then you like places like Austin, Texas. But California, it's kind of like the whole state. And when you look at it, even politically, it's so merged, you know, it's an interesting state and it's always fluctuating changing. And I think it's really kind of a hub of entrepreneurs as well. It's very entrepreneurial. Think about all the startup companies, all the tech companies. There's just, you know, be creative. It's cool to be creative. And it's, you know, it's not conforming. It's creativity and whatever you want to do. And I think that is, it's exciting. That's it. I love California.
And
that's
it is more it's not casual. Yeah, and it's very casual.
That's why there's the term California casual, you know? But would you like to see your book of stories be like a series?
Oh my gosh, that'd be wonderful, right?
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be so fun. You can have a picture for me.
Okay, sure. Everybody listen. Listen up.
Right, and each story would be a different episode with a totally different character, but they're all tied to California.
Just different because you don't see like series do that. Like that's what I was saying about Dirty John. Like suddenly it's like this is your main theme, but it's different characters each time. You just don't see that frequently. But you're doing with your book, it would be so cool.
It's all about men who did the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Dirty John.
I also wonder if it was written by women or not.
But they're true stories.
Is that on Netflix?
How long did it take you to put these stories together, and how did you know, okay, I need to stop at this point? Like it's like I think what you're doing is almost like writing an album.
I know. I mean, it's like when you're writing, right, it is like an album because you're doing each song rather than they're not all tied together like a novel, let's say.
But
you're trying to make a whole out of
flow
individual stories, right? Right. So, you know, I wrote them over many years and I had some of them published in different journals and magazines, and I just kept writing them. And then at some point I thought, well, you know, they're all set in California. I should pull them all together and make a collection.
Nice.
And then I fine tune it and put it together. But I wrote them over many years, from when I was living in California to living in Texas for a while.
Oh, well, yeah. Houston.
So many years, but I just had the idea, you know, 5 years ago to put them all into one book.
Do you think that within the stories that you would ever like pick one and make it into a novel?
Yeah, I've thought about that. And I've had with joint custody, that story is told from two different points of view. There's the mother who's just dropped her daughter off at the airport to go spend the summer with her father in California. And she's going off for the first time in years to have a summer for herself in London to do something. So the story is told from her point of view in the first half. And then the second half is the daughter who's arriving, seeing her father for the first time in several years. And he's kind of an aging hippie living out near Ojai. And it's about her adjusting to, wow, you know, I've grown up and some of the things that I thought were so cool about him, I'm not liking so much. And I'm adjusting to that and I'm angry. But so there's these two points of view. And I've often thought it would be nice to continue that on. So maybe I will.
I think I'm just almost at the end of that story. And I was thinking about that because I can see that first of all, I can see it as sort of a movie with some funny parts, but not necessarily a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you need comic relief, so you can go see Dad because he's kind of a weirdo.
He's funny, right?
He's funny. He's
Orange Orchard.
He's quirky. You know? Yeah,
but that's what I find fun about California, because you do meet these quirky characters who they just eschew the traditional lifestyles and say, I'm going to make something my own and live in an orange grove and philosophy and, you know,
it's interesting.
In a yurt. You're going to live in a yurt. In an orange grove. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why not? We stayed in a farmhouse in an orange grove once in Visalia. And then, it was a 1920s or 30s farmhouse. It's an Airbnb now on Farmer Bob's land. Remember the hummingbird?
Hummingbird
house is what they call it.
House?
Hummingbird cottage. Yeah,
cottage.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we watched a wedding, and we're sitting there drinking wine and watching someone get married from the cottage in the orange groves. It was like a whole other experience. And it was old school cottage. And we're sitting there going, wow, this is like where he grew up as a family in this orange grove with his kids. And, you know, it's a typical farmhouse, and, you know, California's farm culture is huge.
It is, you know? I know people forget that, but it really is big.
Yeah.
That was the turquoise wedding.
Everyone was dressed in turquoise.
In turquoise.
I don't know.
Anyway,
but it was really neat to be in that kind of, I don't know, it was just a different setting, you know, and you felt so transported back, and you didn't feel like you were in, you know, 20th century at all, or 21st century.
That sounds really nice.
It was neat. It was neat. And we just went back there too. And it was really neat because there's chickens running around, and it's awesome. But California is so diverse with this, you know, and I think you should do like a series, a Netflix or Hulu
something like that. That would be great, wouldn't it?
Would you do New York as like a follow-up?
I know, that's so funny. I haven't written something in New York, and maybe I would. I mean, if I continued that story, I would have to come back to the mother who lives in New York.
Oh yeah.
So I think I could come back and do that. But it's funny how California has played such a strong part in my creativity. You know, I haven't lived there now for 20 years, but it's still when I'm writing, I'm usually in California, strangely.
It's part of your psyche.
It just is.
The mother could become involved with a British person when she goes to London.
Right.
So then you could have New York, California, and London.
I think it would be fun to explore that a little bit more.
That's cool. I love that you're doing all these different stories and putting people at the forefront, you know?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. This is awesome. Well, congratulations I saw that your book, you had your party like a few days ago, right?
I did last weekend. I had my book launch event with Dolphin Bookshop. I've been trying to support our local bookstores
because
they've really been so hit by COVID. Mm-hmm. And when I approached her at Dolphin Bookshop, she said, we're not doing any indoor events with COVID. And I said, well, I have a friend with a barn. Would you be willing to partner with me, and we'll do it there? So it turned out to be a great event.
Oh,
and
cool.
It felt a little like being in California because I'd spent so much time in barns riding horses out
See,
there.
See, here we go. We're back to the farm.
It was like full circle for me. It was really nice.
And it looked pretty. It looked like you had fun. It was like a nice big fall, like a fall barn, you know.
It was really a beautiful fall day. And it was really nice, a good turnout. And I was so happy to be able to do it in person because, virtual book launches are a little different. Nice to be able to read to people in
person. I think this kind of book could also lend itself to being a really cool book club events.
Oh, thank you.
Either virtually, or I know it's more fun in person, but like, you know, especially for Californians virtual. Or people that are not in California right now, you know, they miss
That's
home.
That's right. That's a really great idea. And I think short stories are so readable because you don't need a lot of time. You can, in my book, you can pick it up at any time and pop in and read any story. You don't have to read it in order.
See, I like that. You can just go backwards.
Yeah, you can just pop around in the book and see what you like. And, you know, from being girls on a horse farm to Mexican immigrants to a hippie living in Ojai, there's a big difference, eclectic group.
But that's characters. I think that's really great because you may just go back to the same story, but also people are so short. Our attention spans are shorter now.
I know.
With everything going on it's not like this huge novel investment. Like we're not having to read War and Peace.
Exactly.
You know, but I don't want to knock those because we still really need to continue.
We need both. We need
I think sometimes you just want to have that connection and that escape. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the way timing is, that's a really good way of having those moments, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Those me moments, you know.
So too. I'm thinking of doing an audiobook because some people have told me it'd be nice to have it like that so you could listen.
Oh, that'd be fun. That's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
You could
do it like a radio play. Like a podcast play with different character actors. That would be cool. Right.
That would be fun.
Yeah, because so many people listen. You know, I know the audiobook is so huge, you know, just like how podcasting has grown because people want to listen while they're driving, especially if you're in California, maybe on the subway in New York, right?
Yeah, when you're in California, you're driving great distances. I always liked listening to books or podcasts.
Yeah.
It made the drive go so fast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what we have to do when we're traveling.
You travel a lot, the two of you, right?
Yeah.
This year we did 4 cross-country trips. And then I know, what are we doing from Asheville? We're driving to Dallas for 3 nights and then driving to Northeast Pennsylvania. Because why not? And then to Florida. So, you know, it all makes sense.
That's great.
Eventually.
Probably been tough traveling with COVID though, but I guess, are you in a car most of the
time? Yeah. Yeah. So we do a lot of parks. So we stay away from people as best we can. And honestly, we need our moment away from people. We do a lot of communication like this and a lot of, you know, tourism stuff, but we need to have those spaces.
You need your quiet time.
Be in nature. Yeah. It's a California thing. We need to be back out in nature and, but we did get to California this year, which was cool.
Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Where did you go?
We went to San Jose. We also went to it was San Jose to see our friend Stevie. We were talking about, and then we spent time out in Costa Mesa. We spent time in Central California in the Sequoia region, which is a farm and giant trees where all the fires are. Unfortunately, right now.
I know. I was so worried about the trees when that fire was happening. This green.
Well, it's still happening, and the trees. The main giants of Sequoia National Park are fine, and they just opened up parts of Kings Canyon National Park, which is great. So General Sherman tree people can see and go back, but it snowed.
That's a good thing.
It snowed. It's a little snow already, which is fantastic. So
that's a good thing.
I know California, the wildfires this year has just been devastating. Tahoe area, Northern California. So hope that a winter's a nice, gentle, extended wet winter. We need a Los Niños or El Niño.
A lot of rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we need rain and snow and get the water table back. So hopefully that'll happen. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been fun chatting with you.
You too.
Did we pass your test of being normal?
Normal? What the heck is normal?
Are we sane?
What is normal?
I don't know.
I was doing a little mental health assessment.
Yeah, no, yes. Looking at them going, okay, I don't know.
I think you both class with flying colors.
Oh, well, thank you.
I love what you do. I think it's great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and everyone, lindafeder.com is Linda's website, and that's F-E-Y-D-E-R. She's also on Instagram and Facebook. So follow her there. Of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We air Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific time if you're in California, 7 p.m. Eastern time if you're in New York. Thank you so much, Linda. You take care.
Thank you very much.